Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, it's an honor to be with you. Did you bring a Bible this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 28.
All right.
I got a bunch of verses. I'm a Bible teacher. I know some people are exhorters. I'm not. Amen. I want to go line upon line and study things out. Can you say amen? If you can do it, I'm going to go to Isaiah 28 and Exodus chapter 3. And we'll pull a couple of things together all at once. Amen. Good to be in a good church, isn't it?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're not somewhere being deceived this morning?
Yes.
Lord, there's so many lies in these last days. I tell you what, I don't even know where to start sometimes with people. They're so far from right, I don't even know which lie to correct first. Hallelujah. Amen. It really is good to see everybody. It's good to see a strong church. Say a strong church.
Strong church.
You know, I think sometimes what happens, Pastor, is people don't have anything to judge the church against, right? Like if you were just born and raised in this, you just think this is normal. Amen. I'm here to tell you this is not normal. Amen. To have a pastor who loves you and people who sacrifice, amen, and a church family who will pray for you, elders that'll stay up if you need things, amen. This just isn't everywhere, folks. It just isn't everywhere. Maybe it should be. I think it should be, but it just isn't. Amen? So just treasure what you have and don't take it for granted. Amen? You know that Mark Twain said something I always thought was true. He said, when I was 17, my dad was the dumbest man I'd ever met in my life. He said, I was proud of him. When I turned 30, he had learned a lot. Amen? That's kind of how it is with a true pastor, too. You know, when you get started, you wonder, why is he coming up with this? Or that's just what he's supposed to say. And as life goes on, you learn the wisdom that God put in this house. Amen. And the greatness of who God is. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 28. Let's study this together. Let's pick it up in verse 9. And we'll go from there. It says, whom will he teach knowledge? Well, I hope that'd be us. Amen. And whom will he make understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? In other words, children? For precept must be upon precept. He repeats, precept upon precept. Line upon line. Look at this, and it repeats again. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may... you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Isn't that crazy? They want help and God's helping them, but they won't listen to him. I know that's not you. It's somebody else we're talking about. So just, you know, don't worry about that part. But the word, look at verse 13, it repeats again. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And it goes on. He's using actually the terminology of what we would call a bricklayer or a mason. Amen? He's taking one block at a time and carefully putting them next to each other. And then he goes up a row, and again, it's the same thing, and it's building one on top of the other. Amen? And if you've got Exodus chapter 3, let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 here together. Let me read it to you. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but it was not consumed with fire. The bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, Moses, if you don't know where we're kind of picking this story up, you know, God speaks to Moses. He's being raised in the palace. He's Pharaoh's kind of adopted, if we can say it that way, grandson. Amen? When you are under that kind of nobility, you don't just go to any school. You go to the school. Amen? He was taught in all the ways, whatever was important to them, geometry or however all of that works. That's what Moses knew. God speaks to him in the middle of all of that, and he says, you know, you're going to deliver these people. Moses tries to do that the best way he knows how, and he kills a guy trying to start his church. That is not a good way to start your church. Amen. I'm sure when he met Jethro, Jethro thought, now, you know, this is a redneck church. Your pastor's Jethro. You got murders in the pew. Amen. It's going to take a while. I'm sure Jethro said, we're going to be a while getting Moses sorted out here. Amen. This is what I like to say. The best of the world cannot teach you how to walk with God. You can have all the education you want. If you can get it, get it. Amen. I understand it'll help you. If you're going to operate on my brain, I would hope you would learn what you're doing. Amen. I don't want to be your first time around the block. Hallelujah. I got enough problems in here. Don't be adding to it. Thank you very much. But my point is all of that can't teach you Jesus Christ. That you have to have somebody, a priest in Midian, which is who Jethro was, who can teach you and help you unlearn and relearn what you need to know to walk with God. Amen. When I got born again, gave my life to the Lord, I met my wife Janine. Somebody had given her a book. I tell this testimony all the time. Somebody had given her a book by a guy by the name of Kenneth Hagin. They said, Janine, this book is for you, but it's not for now. The time will come, you'll know when you're to read this book, but it's not yet. So she took that book and she kept it. I kept bumping into her everywhere because I was trying to get right with God. I was in between my junior year and my senior year of college. I gave my life to the Lord, but I couldn't find anybody to help me walk with God. Amen. And so every time I would show up at Fellowship of Christian Athletes or Campus Crusade for Christ or one of the other fellowships on campus, I would bump into her. So finally, she turned to me and she said, hey, I got this book. You want to read it? I don't know anything about a book. Amen. And it was by Dr. Hagin. It was a book on prayer. Prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, prayer of supplication. He explained all the different prayers throughout your scriptures. And the last chapter was on praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, we didn't do that in the Lutheran church. Amen. We were told that all stopped. But he would talk about visions. Say visions. Dreams. Say dreams. See, these are things that God does to communicate with his people. Those are still happening today. Amen. Thank God that you're in a Holy Ghost church where you can have those things. And I remember turning to Janine and I said, you mean that still happens? We would meet at the library, kind of a conference room, kind of like that wall there, all glass so people could see us, but we were alone to talk. And I said, that still happens? She said, well, he does it. I'm a redneck. I'm not that smart. Amen. If it wasn't for Janine, you know, amen. Did you ever go, hey, is this just me? Guys, you ever go to those dinners where they got too many forks?
Yes.
Right? Who are these people? I have no idea where these people are from. Amen. If I'm using a fork, you should be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Best has high living where I come from. Praise God. I got my shoes on. I'm dressed up. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. Are you with me? We lose the whole church. Amen.
No, we understand.
You understand? I'm among my people. Amen. But there was, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole world opened up to me, a whole realm I had never known before. It changed everything. I had to unlearn some things and relearn how to walk with God. Can you say amen? And what's happening with Moses is it is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It is not 40 years because God wants it to be 40 years. It's 40 years because that's how long it takes. However long it takes is how long it takes. Amen. And line upon line, this man is unlearning what he learned in Egypt, and he's relearning how to walk with God.
Amen. Dr.
George Evans, who was so influential in our church, and he would come every year, used to have Berean Bible School. He had read his Bible through some 400 times cover to cover. I know he's about half of where all of you are, but for me, that was that was pretty good business. Amen. Dr. Evans used to say this. He'd say, it's the job of the priest to gather wood every day, even on the days that God doesn't light it. As they walked through the wilderness, they had to keep gathering wood so that when it was time, they were ready. He said, that's how the Bible verses is. It's your job, not God's, to gather the verse, every day, every day. You keep gathering the wood in your heart, and one day when he's ready, he'll light it.
Yeah.
He'll know how to light it. He'll know. But if there's no wood, there's nothing for him to light. Amen. You've got to gather the wood. That's our job. Amen. That's why you can come into church and you say, man, pastor, that's just what I was studying. Well, of course, God's light in the wood. But if you hadn't read it, he could preach the same sermon. You wonder what he's talking about. Amen. It's not he's out in left field. Got a mirror? Amen. We found the issue. And what's happening for Moses here is over 40 years, he's unlearning, relearning, unlearning, relearning. Can you say amen? Amen. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. This is after now they've gotten through the Red Sea and all these things that have happened, and they're getting ready to march on. Let's go Exodus 33:13. It says, now therefore I pray if I found grace in your sight, this is Moses talking to God, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. This church is his people. Amen. And he said, my presence will go with you. This is God's response. And I will give you rest. That's what we're talking about over in Isaiah. Then he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, I don't want the promised land, God, if you're not going to be there. I don't want the blessing if you're not going to be there. I'd like to have some prosperity, but not if it's going to cost me your presence. It's not worth it to me. Amen? Let's read on. 16. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separated, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. 17. The Lord said to Moses, this is his response, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Isn't that great? Yeah. And he said, please show me your glory. Wonder where he learned that. You know, it's interesting in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon says, when I was young and tender, the only one in my father's sight, he told me, get wisdom, get understanding. Remember that verse? Yeah. When God came to Solomon, he said, ask me anything you want. What did Solomon ask for? Where do you think he learned that from? From his father David. It pays to have good people speaking into your life. Can you say amen? Amen. That's the beauty of having a true church and having a true shepherd. They teach you how to serve and how to seek after God. Amen? It says, Lord, show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. So evidently the glory and the goodness are hand in hand. I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'll make my poverty pass before you? I'll make my sickness pass before you. You're going to enjoy this clunker I show you. Those flat tires, all bald. Thank God. I'll make my goodness pass before you in your, amen. I like to say in your life, I'm going to bring my goodness to you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. In other words, God's saying, you won't always understand every decision I make. Just trust me. Yeah. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man has seen my face and lived. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. The King James says, behold, there is a place. There is a place. Title of my sermon this morning, I'm just going to call it, Why, Brother Ray, why am I at Oasis Church? Because God's modus operandi is to send you to a place where his glory will come. That's what he's doing with Moses. He said, there's a place. Don't you know when God formed the earth, he already knew Moses was going to ask him this question years later? And he carved out in that mountainside a place where Moses could be. For what? So his glory could come by his son. Why do we have Oasis Church? It's a place carved out by God that his glory can come. He sends you where his glory will be. I'll prove that to you. Amen. He sent Moses where his glory would be. Why did he end up in Jethro's church? Because Jethro knew God. He sent Moses where his glory could get a hold of him. where he would see it in the future. Amen. Why did Jesus come along the seashores of Galilee and tell those disciples, follow me and I will make you? He wanted them to be where his glory would show up. It's God's, it's his nature to put you where he can bless you. Can you say amen? All of heaven and earth was set up originally before sin to put you where he could touch you, where he could help you, where you wouldn't need, amen, to know poverty, that you wouldn't need to know abuse. All of this stuff was never meant to happen in our lives. Can you say amen? It was just only supposed to be the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. He didn't need the devil to teach you anything. Amen. I love everybody. I don't necessarily mesh with the doctrine that says God wants to hurt you to teach you something. God wants to teach you something. He sent you a pastor to teach you something. He gave you his word to teach you something. He gave you his spirit to teach you something. Amen. Now, if you're just not going to listen, you might hit the wall. Amen. Just listen. Doesn't have to be that way. Hallelujah. Says, I will, there is a place, Oasis Church. There is a place for you to be where God's glory can come to your life. You don't have to hear everybody else's testimony. You can have your own. God wants to give you a miracle. God wants to heal your body. God wants to bless your children. Amen. Touch your marriage. Give you a good house. Hallelujah. That's the nature of our God. He's a blesser. You get around him, something good will fall into your life. Hallelujah. So it will be, 22, that while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, God can show you his face, but you wouldn't be here again if he did. Amen. So he can't just do it, even though you might like it. Not yet. But the time will come. Amen. We'll all be happy about it. Hallelujah. This thought in mind, let's study this a little bit in the New Testament. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 24? So Brother Ray, why am I in the helps ministry? Why am I serving? Because this is the place for the glory. You fit there. Amen. Luke chapter 24, look at this. New Testament side of this. 45. So this was our prayer earlier when we opened. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. I would encourage you to pray that over yourself on a daily basis. Lord, open my understanding that I can comprehend what's in these scriptures. Amen. I was thinking about it while we were praise and worship. It really blessed me this morning. But I was thinking about this during the, I think it was the last song. You know, God has an interesting way of doing things. He declared the death of his son, and yet when his son came to die, the Bible says that had they known that they were crucifying the Lord of glory, they would have never done it. So he said it, but he didn't explain it. In a sense, he said it, but didn't say it. He told them what he was going to do, but he knew they wouldn't get it so he could advance his plan. So if you want to understand what he said, you have to connect with the author because he'll explain it to you as you go on. Can you say amen? He told them, that's what David prophesied in Psalm chapter 22, that I see a man hanging on a tree, right? That he's pierced, but none of his bones are broken. Right. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Now you have to understand, David is born some 600 years before crucifixion has ever started. How else is he going to explain it to you?
Right.
He doesn't even know what a cross is yet. They haven't been invented, but God does. So the Bible says, curses every man who hangs on his tree, but they can't explain it to you because they haven't seen one yet. Amen? That's what you need God to open your understanding so you can comprehend. Because this book is preaching in every direction. It's preaching to the people behind. It's preaching to the people current. And then it's preaching to the people who haven't been here yet. When you read Matthew 24, you realize Jesus is dealing with all of this from where he's there, where he is in the Gospels. Amen? I don't mean to blow your mind. Just stick with me. Amen. 46. Then he said to them, this is Jesus, thus it was written and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. I said, I'm going to send the glory, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Go there and wait. I'm coming there. Just like he said with Moses, you stand there, I'll be right with you. Amen. You go there, I'll be there. That's why we have a local church. So because it's a place where God can put you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Sometimes people don't like it because they think it's too slow. God can speed it up, but man can't. Amen? God already knows everything. Do you ever stop to think God has never learned anything? He's just always known everything? Boy, that cooks my noodle. Amen? That's hard for me to get. I spend my life trying to read and learn things, and how would I miss that? God never has a day like that. You can't throw a surprise party for God. Amen? He already knows you're planning it a million years ago. He's bored with this, if I can say it that way. Hallelujah. I send the promise of my Father upon you. What? But tarry, wait where I tell you, not just any city, the city where I'm coming. There is a place carved out for you. Why? Because that's where my glory's going to come. That's why you don't want to skip church. That's why you don't want to miss prayer service. That's why you don't want to come late. Why? Because God could show up in any of those times to touch your life. Can you say amen? I remember having a business decision I had to make, and pastor's preaching away. I can't even tell you what he's preaching on. I can tell you what my problem was, because it was consuming me. Pastor's preaching away. I know this is going to sound silly. If you're carnal, this is going to, right? I get it. He's preaching away, and I'm sitting here thinking about a business decision to make. And as he's preaching, all of a sudden, this spark hits, like off of his shoulder. Did you ever play slow pitch softball where they just kind of arc it to you? I mean, the village idiot could hit it, right? It's so simple. This thing came off of his shoulder, and when it hit me, just like a slow pitch softball, it hit me in the chest, it answered my decision. I had to buy some equipment for my tree business. And the Lord spoke, I didn't want to, because I didn't want to spend the money. I'm trying to be in the ministry. I don't want to buy any more equipment. I had an old wood splitter, didn't start, didn't run. And when that, are you with me? When that thing hit me in the chest, the Lord spoke, he said, tools that don't work are not tools at all. You don't have a wood splitter. Splitter split wood, yours don't. Even God knows I'm a redneck. You laugh. That helped me.
Yeah.
That's right.
He said, tools that don't work are not tools at all. You're fooling yourself. You don't have a wood splitter. And he went on and he said, and tools you can't find quickly only serve to frustrate you because you live in a hurry. He was right, obviously. He said, go home and organize your life. You take that idea all you want. I went out and bought $200,000 of equipment off of a word from the Lord, turned my whole business around.
All right.
That motor for that splitter I bought in 2004. I still use it to split wood to this day, 21 years later. Amen. That splitter has made me probably $10,000 to $15,000. Just that one motor I didn't want to buy and that word from the Lord that I got in church.
Amen.
And you know what happened? It started every single day.
All right.
And I didn't have to repent so much. Hallelujah. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'll drag every last one of you guys up and I'll make your wives confess for you because I know they're tired of hearing you out in the garage. Amen. Lie to me, pack of sinners. Hallelujah. I'm going to pause my sermon for just a minute. I'm going to come back to it. Okay? I really am. I want to take a principle and I'm going to grab it and bring it into what we're talking about. I cleared this with Pastor before I started preaching today. I believe in what's called the rapture, the catching away of the church. I'm sure you've taught it here. Thank God. That's what I believe. That's what I see in the scriptures. What happened is we know from Thessalonians there will be a catching away of the church. Right. Amen. Right. That part's clear. The problem that the church came with is, or in discussing end times, what we call eschatology, is when you read in Revelations 1, and it begins to talk about that the whole end times issues, right? Revelation isn't the only book referring to the end times, right. But a lot of it is in there. Right. Amen. Right. Through John's vision, of course, that God gave him. John 1 says this is a revelation of who? Jesus Christ. It's not the Antichrist, it's not the false prophet, it's not any of those people. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So you have to keep that in mind as John explains that vision that came. Around about chapter 4, chapter 5, it begins this talk of the seals being broken in heaven. I'm going to get back to my sermon, just stay with me here. I could say something smart, God's really big, amen? It could happen. In Revelations 5, we begin what's called the judgment. The seals are broken in heaven. Amen. And it begins to talk about seven plagues that would hit. But these judgments don't come from the devil in hell. They come from God in heaven. People get this stuff mixed up. It is not what the devil is doing. It is what God has done when he is flat-headed with humanity because he has been telling us for thousands of years, don't do that. And people have done that anyways. I don't know if you've ever owned private property and you put a sign up that says no trespassing. God has 10 commandments. No, do not do these. People walk right past them and do what he told them not to do. He's had it. Amen. He's not going to do this forever. Right? Did you ever go too far with your dad?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
How many altar calls are we having this morning? That's what's happened. They pushed God. You know what happened to me with Sodom and Gomorrah? God tried and tried to tell them, don't do that.
Right.
Nobody listened. So he said, all right, I'll show you how I feel about this. And he marked it for all of humanity to see.
Right.
Every generation. This is how God feels about the sin of homosexuality. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't try to let people change it 2025. Right. He does not change. Amen. How he felt about it then is the same way he feels about it right now. Amen. Back to the book of Revelation to get back to my sermon. I got to catch this rabbit, so just stay with me. There was a lot of discussion when the judgment would happen. It would begin what they called the tribulation period. So the eschatology people, they had this discussion, where would the church be during this judgment? And so we knew that there would be the catching away of the church, or what we call the rapture. So the argument, in a sense, boiled down to three. We would be pre-trib, the church would be taken away, the rapture would happen pre or prior to the tribulation. It would be mid-trib, right, in the middle of the tribulation, some point, some time, the church would be caught away. Or what some people call post-trib, after the tribulation period, you would be caught away. This discussion was going on. Amen. I'm a first load, I'm out of here guy. Amen. That's what I see. But there was a man named Dr. Hilton Sutton, I'm sure pastors heard of him, who taught a lot on eschatology. And when I talked to Dr. Sutton, he was at our church, he told me he was at over 100,000 hours in study in end times prophecy, just that one topic alone. It's hard to negotiate with a man who has studied that much.
Yeah.
Amen. They're pretty set in their ways, but they have a right to be. Amen. This is my point. Dr. Sutton did not take pre-tribulation rapture from the book of Revelations. He went back to the judgments of God and looked at God's established pattern. When Noah came, when the flood waters fell, the righteous were lifted up above it. See the picture? When Sodom and Gomorrah came and Lot and the people were there, God caught them away. He removed them prior to the judgment falling. And he had what he called the seven raptures of God, and he could prove through the rest of the Bible how to interpret this last portion of the Bible. Because you can't separate God. He doesn't change just because revelations came along. Do you understand? He has an established pattern, and so now it doesn't alter for this time. So you can take great comfort because this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus has always been a healer. Jesus has always been a deliverer. Jesus always take care of the devil. Amen. Jesus given the church authority. We will be just fine. God knows what he's doing. You understand where I'm going? Now back to my sermon. I'm not taking what I'm talking about with the glory just from one verse. That's why I'm trying to establish a pattern that from Genesis all the way through to today, Luke chapter 24, God's modus operandi is to put you where he can bless you. It's how he thinks. It's his desired pattern. It's his way of doing things. Amen. If you know it, you know him. Amen. You can walk in a home and you can see that your wife is the one who decorated it. Amen? Because you can certainly tell if the husband did it.
That's right.
There's going to be flannel everywhere if the guy did it. It's going to look good if she did it. Hallelujah. This is God showing us. This is how I think. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free. In other words, all of us have been made to drink of one Spirit. Aren't you glad you have the same Spirit that Jesus does?
Yes.
Amen? Isn't that good news? 14. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, is it not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear, I'm in 16. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, is it not of the body? Is it therefore not of? In other words, just because it says it's not doesn't mean it's not, because it still is.
Right.
You might feel like you don't belong to the body of Christ, but you do. Amen. 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Look at this. But now God has set. God, where was he? What's his modus operandi, Brother Ray, to put you where his glory can find you? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body. How? Just as he pleased. Well, what pleases him? Blessing you. Helping people. You will fit like a glove. I remember I was working in the office one day and one of the secretaries came up the hall and she said, I can hear you laughing halfway up the hall. You are like the office Tickle Me Elmo. Amen. I said, I love working here. Yes, it's stressful. Yes, there's a lot of work, but God's here. Can't you feel God? I mean, every day we pray. You know, I don't know if you notice this. They don't do that on other jobs. Amen. You have a bad day, people care. That doesn't happen everywhere. You're mixing cement. Bubba doesn't care if you're not feeling good today. Amen. He's stepping on you trying to get his next raise. He has set you in the body just as he pleased. What pleases him? To put you where his glory will come. That's why you don't want to walk away from your helps position. That's why you don't want to stop ushering or greeting or working with the children or vacuuming the sanctuary, because you're doing something that helps make you part of the body and the glory comes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You need us. You might not know it, and we need you. I definitely know it. Amen? And that's what's happening in the church. Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Verse 1. Now in the church, say church.
Church.
Look at this. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manin, and they had brought up, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. That's who we know is going to be the Apostle Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they fulfilled where they were set in the body, fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and they sent them away. What happened, Brother Ray? The glory came. The glory came in Saul's life, who would become Paul. What happened with Moses on the backside of the desert working there with Jethro? The Bible says that he was taking care of Jethro's sheep when he saw the burning bush. That's the helps ministry. And as he's serving there, the glory came to him. As Paul is serving, the glory came into his life. God set you in the body sovereignly just as it pleases him. Why? Because his glory's coming to visit your life. Can you say amen? That's his modus operandi. That's how he thinks. That's what he likes to do. I can show it to you all through. Let's go back, if you would, to Moses. We'll wrap up with this. Exodus chapter 40. I love this verse, Exodus chapter 40. I'll never forget, I was reading this. You ever read your Bible tired? I was reading this and I was falling half asleep. I'll just be dirt honest with you. Falling half asleep. And at the end, the Lord spoke to me and woke me right up. I tell people this, you know, if you have to read your Bible tired, then do it tired, but read it. If you pray tired, that's okay, but pray. Do the best you can with it. Spend that time. God will take care of it. Amen. He will know when to light that wood if you'll make sure you got wood for him. Amen. Just stay at it. Don't get discouraged. God's really good at this. Can you say amen? Look at here in Exodus chapter 40, verse 16. Maybe one of the key phrases in all of our Bible. Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. What did Jesus say about how to build your house on a rock and it won't fall? You got to be a doer of the word. Amen. Moses did according to all that God commanded him. Remember back to our first verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, precept upon, here a little, there a little. Look what it is about to yield this man. Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass, I'm in 17, the first month of the second year, the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. 18, so Moses raised up the tabernacle. 19, so he spread out the tent over the tabernacle. Look at the end of 19. As the Lord commanded Moses. 21 at the end. As the Lord commanded Moses. You see in the pattern? 23. As the Lord commanded Moses. 25 at the end. As the Lord commanded Moses. 27 at the end. As the Lord commanded Moses. God is not repeating himself because he forgot he already told you. Amen. This isn't like your dad who told you a bunch of stories you already know the ending of. He is repeating it because he knows you need to hear it again. Amen? It's important. End of 29 again, as the Lord commanded Moses. Here we are, verse 33. End of the last phrase. So Moses finished the work. Look at 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle. The glory came. Everything in Moses' life was to prepare him for this right here. Line upon line, precept upon precept. God was establishing things with Jethro, the priest in Midian. Why am I taking care of the sheep? Just shut up and keep doing it. Amen. I'll explain this in a few decades. You're not ready for it yet. Amen. Moses had no way of knowing that if he did all of these things, the glory would fall. But look at the results of his obedience. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is still the reason we, Oasis Church, is built like it is a pattern off of this right here. What Moses found is what we're all trying to have, that we obey God and the glory comes to us. Can you say amen? Amen. 35, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the next day when it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the church, the tabernacle, by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. even in a wilderness place, in a dry place, even though technically they shouldn't have been there for 40 years, you know what never left them? The presence of the Lord. What Moses learned working, beginning, and serving, and helping, and taking care of sheep became a pattern for the rest of all of us. So Moses finished the work. What happened? The glory came. It is God's nature. It is his modus operandi to put you where his glory is coming. That's how he thinks. Brother Ray, why am I at Oasis Church? Because the glory's coming. Tarry in Jerusalem, how long? Until the power comes. Amen? Stay there. Why? Because it's going to change your life when it comes. You've never seen anything like it. Gather that wood and gather that wood and line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Take notes and pray over them and go back to things. Study, 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 study. One day when God's ready, he will light that wood and it will change your life forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap, Pastor. Thank you for having me this morning. God bless you, everybody.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.